Greetings, adventurers. Welcome to the worlds beyond your world, the great wheel of the cosmos. Welcome to the lands beyond your wildest imagination. This is Dungeon Delvers, where we explore the many facets of entertainment's most interactive phenomena, gaming. It's currently 11 o'clock a.m. on March 8, 2017. I'm your host and part-time Dungeon Master, Hannah Ward. Today's guest, Brian Metcalf, has produced numerous multimedia projects and is currently co-developing a mobile app for Sony, a major player in the gaming industry. He also is CEO and co-founder of Black Jelly Beans Productions. Thank you, Brian, for being with us today to talk about your work.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so when did your interest in gaming start?
My interest in gaming started when I was very, very young. I've always played video games since I was a child, had all kinds of portable handheld game systems to games on my phone now and everything from there. So probably when I would say five.
Okay. So like you said before, you started out as a consumer and it just kind of grew from there?
Yes, exactly.
All right. So what was the first game you remember, or one that made an impact on you?
Oh, geez. First game that made an impact on me was probably Super Mario Brothers. I got a Nintendo a little bit late, but I've always liked the side-scrolling games and the different types of things like that, and Super Mario Brothers was just a lot of fun to play. So
platformers are your thing?
Not just platforms. I mean everything. Role-playing, first-person shooter, third-person shooter, you name it. Everything from Halo to Street Fighter to everything you can possibly think of out there.
So how many games have you worked on?
Games that I've worked on? Well, including board games, I'm not exactly sure how many board game things I've worked on. I've probably worked on four board games, and I've worked on graphics for different other video games in the past. I'm just going to guess, like, including my own games, maybe 10, something like that.
That's numerous.
So...
So why do you make games?
Well, I make games because I enjoy playing them, obviously, and I want to make the type of games that I enjoy playing. It's just a lot of fun to create things. It's just such a fascination that that's what I like to do. So the reason why I actually formed my company, Black Jelly Beans, partly was to create our own games and applications and everything from there. So. It's something I've always wanted to do, and I've worked for other companies designing, you know, building out levels and games and doing all kinds of different things. And now with my own company, I'm able to do all this technology and build all this stuff in a way that that I want to do it.
Interesting. So I'm actually unfamiliar. What's an out level? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm a gamer as well, but I've never heard that phrase before.
An out level?
Yeah.
You know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure of that exact title either, or terminology either.
Yeah.
So you stumped me there.
All right. So do you have a favorite project that you can describe for us?
Well, right now we're working on a game called Monster Suites, and that's a favorite project of mine. Just because we're so into it, we're working on doing, it's a 2.5D platformer, and we're building that inside of Unity and doing models inside of Maya and 3D Studio Max, and we're doing matte paintings in Photoshop and Vue d'Esprit, and we're just able to create and put all of this stuff together, and we're scripting out a full script and storyline for it, so it's been a lot of fun there. And we just recently brought on Sony as a development partner, so we're going to be in the PlayStation Network, and we're going to have physical and distribution of it as well, which is exciting.
So, I guess you probably can't go too much into detail on the terms of that contract, but...
No.
So, when do you say it's going to be released?
We're looking at possibly end of year, early next year. We've had some delays with it. We started building out the game inside of a platform called Monkey, and there are all kinds of problems with it, and then Sony stopped support for it. And after that, we had to switch over to Unity. But we find Unity just to be a really good platform to use. It's what a lot of the major game companies use. and we don't know why we didn't start it inside of Unity to begin with.
Was the transition from Monkey to Unity a difficult one?
It was a little bit of a hassle just to transfer some of the assets over. We're still actually doing that as we speak while we're building out more levels inside of Unity. So it's just been an interesting length of time to do it. A lot of the assets still stay the same, but some of the things is that Monkey is a 2D platform, whereas Unity is full on 3D. So that gives us a lot more to work with.
Yeah. So how'd you come up with the game's concept, and could you describe exactly what the game entails?
Sure. I came up with the game's concept. Actually, it wasn't just me. It was me and my friend Kelly who came up with the concept of it. We were talking one day over at a restaurant and discussing an idea that we thought would be kind of a fun side-scroller game. And we came up with the idea of this girl going down into this monster land because we like monsters and we like candy. So we decided to mix the two together to make, you know, this game called Monster Sweets. And we decided to have her do everything from fly with root beer, float packs, and throw candy and use a giant lollipop to hit people with, and shrink down small and grow really big and swim and all kinds of fun things. So we decided to take to make it complex, even though it was a 2D side-scroller.
Okay. What went right or wrong during development? Were there any major setbacks besides switching from Monkey to Unity?
We've had all kinds of different setbacks. I mean, what one thing you have to do is it's a lot of trial and error, just trying out different sizes of, you know, what fits for the models, or how thick and complex the model should be, polygon size, how certain lighting things look. We noticed that certain things look great in Maya, and then you bring it into another program, and it doesn't look as good. So we had to port over. Also, we're doing all the animations inside of 3D Studio Max, not inside of Maya. So we're converting things into what's called an OBJ format, where we're building in Maya, then converting over to OBJ, and then inside of Max, we open it, and some of the models are off, and some of the textures are off, so we have to fix a lot of things like that. Obviously, right now we're going through a funding phase where we are looking to do additional funding in terms of crowdfunding for that. So we're going to be setting that up this week, actually.
So with crowdfunding, would it be something like a Kickstarter?
Yes, very similar.
Now, I'm also unfamiliar with the term OBJ. What does that stand for?
OBJ is a file format that whenever your model is, you export it out. So, you know, you have different formats from OBJ, DXF, different formats that multiple game systems or 3D modeling systems can utilize and can open up and work with.
Okay. So how many people are involved in the making of that game?
In the making of this game, we have a very small crew. I would say about right now six of us, five to six of us are working on it total right now. We are looking to expand our core group, though, definitely.
So with Monster Sweets, you said that you're working on, like, I guess, working with matte paintings, I think you said?
Yes.
Yeah. So how does that work?
So matte paintings, what they are is we want to build the backgrounds and sceneries and different things like that. So what we do is we build out these nice matte paintings inside of Photoshop. And then what we do is convert it to what's considered 2.5D to give it its parallax, where you map the foreground part of the matte painting. You have them all separate layers. And so the foreground layer is going to go, when you're side-scrolling, you have the background layer obviously going a different speed than the foreground layer and the mid-ground layers and all that. So you separate them into layers, and then you apply them to 3D geometry. You map it over the 3D geometry. So when it's moving, you have that 3D depth and everything from there.
That's impressive. So I actually wanted to ask about the art design for the game.
Okay.
Would you say that it's... Is there any specific way you want it to look?
Well, we definitely want a very cartoony look for it, but we also want to make it look really beautiful. We're interested in combining realism with very cartoony type things, but making it a very stylized way for that. And we want to make it very kid-friendly, but also something that adults would want to play as well.
So you're trying to find a balance between streamlining and, you know, complexity?
Correct, yeah.
All right. So what have you learned from developing that you wish someone would have told you when you started?
Oh, geez. Well, it's definitely very important to plan out how you're going to build out your game. Obviously, we made the mistake of starting this game in Monkey and then switching over to Unity, where we would have saved a lot of time. How do we just build it directly from Unity itself? We thought that it would be quicker to do it inside of Monkey, and then it ended up taking a lot more time, especially with the dynamics and how you have collision objects affecting one another and particles and so forth from there. It's just much easier inside of Unity. So what's, I guess, most important is there's a lot of trial and error in building these games, and it's a lot of just patience, and sometimes your computer crashes and you don't save and you have to redo hours worth of work. I remember for one specific thing, I was building out this full-on model inside of Maya, and I had gotten pretty far along in it, and then my computer went down. It just crashed on me, and then I lost everything entirely. So I've learned to save a lot more. I've learned to be a lot more cautious onto how I'm doing things and to be more careful. And also to build up a library of your own 3D models. Instead of building it from scratch every time, if you're building a new character, you take an already made character and you alter it differently. You know, every human has, you know, two arms and two hands and two legs and so forth from there. So you take a generic model and then you alter it so it saves time, definitely. Things like that.
So it's altering a template, basically?
Yeah, it's altering the 3D model of it and making it just, you know, to make it either a female or a monster or whatever you want to make it as.
All right. So are you involved at all in the character design?
Yes, I am.
All right. Do you have a particular favorite?
My favorite character is actually the main character, this girl who, her name is Desi. She basically has a little cat hat that she wears on her. And she's this little short, stubby running girl. She's really cute and, she's just a lot of fun. But also some of the monster bosses that we're creating are a lot of fun. I can't describe some. I mean, some of them look something like a griffin with a long tail. Others look like a big monkey with, like, other different features. We have squid-like things because you go underwater. It's just all kinds of different things. It's being able to use your imagination and say, I want to make something that looks like a mix of a crab and a lion or something like that, and just having fun with it.
Do you take any inspiration from, like, mythology or urban legends when creating these characters, like monsters?
I think I take influence from everything out there, just whatever I've, you know, been influenced by in media and everything out there that you can possibly think of. I don't know how my mind thinks exactly. I just think of something and I'm like, oh, cool. And this is the same for the rest of my team. We'll all be just brainstorming and they'll all be saying, oh, I just thought of this. And be like, oh, cool, let's do that. And, you know, we just want to do weird things. And we're like, hey, let's have a bug mixed with a fish, or let's do something else different, or let's give it a really big head, or, you know, just different things that we think would look fun and cool.
No chance we'll see Cthulhu in there?
You never know. We might.
All right. So do you enjoy developing for a particular engine or platform more than others?
Well, it's interesting because when you're talking about platform for this game in particular, we can port it over to iOS, Android, Facebook, just all kinds of different formats, you know, Steam for desktop, of course, PlayStation 4, all of that built in one specific way. So when we're talking about porting over to different platforms, I think it's multi-platform that it can go. And that's one of the major advantages of Unity. What I like to do, it's strange because our first game was called Hurls, and we did this. It was also a side-scroller. And then this one's it's basically like an Angry Birds with zombies instead. But the next game that we're doing is a full-on 3D environment after this. We're already working on the development for that, and it's going to be using AR/VR technology and so forth.
Oh, alternate reality?
No, augmented reality.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Augmented reality. No, no worries. And virtual reality.
Yeah.
And playing around with those different types of things as well, because just getting that 3D depth and space, we're really excited about doing.
Okay. So Is there a particular platform you enjoy playing on more, I guess, to kind of connect with the previous question?
I think it's not a particular platform. I think for me it's just, how is the game itself? Is the game fun to play? I really got addicted to Candy Crush for a while, and that was on my iOS just because when I was bored, I would just start playing it. But then I started realizing that even when I wasn't bored, I would just find time to just try to start playing it and everything from there. Same with, I'll find myself playing for hours and hours on end just because it's just a lot of fun. I mean, sometimes I'll get together with a group of friends and we'll just order a pizza and just play all night on video games. So,
you mentioned to me that you've worked on level design for a Halo board game. For those of you unfamiliar with the title, Halo is a popular shooter series originally developed by Bungie and published by Microsoft. Is the process of developing a tabletop game much different than a digital one?
Well, when I developed the level design, I did that actually inside of Maya. So I built out the model inside of Maya, and then they can take the models that you create in 3D and they can always print them out and do different things with them. So that's how you can, that's one way on how you can change from going from 3D over into, you know, desktop or tabletop and everything from there.
So it overlaps fairly often, I would say?
Yes, I would say definitely a lot of the product design is initially created inside of Maya or inside of a 3D app. I mean, you have to design it, you have to build it out and all that type of stuff. And then you always have to do, you know, convert it over and stuff.
All right. Are there any practices in the industry that you think are holding back developers from putting out quality games?
You know, I definitely hear of a lot of complaints about just the way different systems were. For example, a lot of people complained how the Wii was set up because it was a pain in the neck to get certain things, whereas PlayStation was a lot easier to develop for. I think it just depends on what type of platform they want to develop for. There are different rules for each thing. In terms of people holding back, I know you have to make it fit for the specific thing, you know, a different platform for iOS than Android. So each one has its give or takes. There is no one that's just amazingly great, in my opinion.
All right. Do you see any particular genre gaining traction in the industry?
Oh.
Kind of like how the fighting games were pretty popular back in the 90s, and then I guess first-person shooters kind of took over from there.
Well, right now, I'm seeing everything out there being big. I mean, there are so many different games out there and so many different developers out there nowadays. It's grown exponentially, especially with independent games and everything like that, that I think that as long as the game is fun, it's, you know, that's what's doing it. I mean, again, they have League of Legends that's really big on iOS and or on phones and all of those types of games where everyone buys add-ons. I read somewhere that someone stole $2 million worth or something like that, and they spent $1 million of it just on game add-ins on their phone. And it's like, what? So I just see everything being big right now, from Call of Duty is still really big, and first-person shooters to role-playing games are really big. I think just everyone has their own different tastes right now. So,
So now, if we would be able to go back to the game mechanics, are there any that you think are a little, I guess, are there any that you would wish would disappear from a developer standpoint? Any that you would like to add in, which would see more often?
In terms of, could you explain in more detail what you
were saying? You know, like how a bit of a way back, people didn't like, I think, quick time events. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's a pain to put in the game or if it's just a little. Yeah, I'm not sure if there are any that you wish developers wouldn't put in as much.
No, because every feature and every function has its place. And what works for some people doesn't work for other people, but there's a purpose for them having their place in there. So for me, I wouldn't say that there's anything in particular that I wouldn't put in or anything like that.
Are there any games you would modify to make it better?
that I would modify. Oh, I'm not going to get myself in trouble here. I'm not going to get myself in trouble here on that. So I'll be very PC.
Okay. Are there any moments in gaming that you would consider to be exceptionally good? Are any levels, you know, characters that stand out?
That for me, when I'm playing, you mean other people's games and stuff like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Well, there are so many. It's where do I begin? Oh, geez. Well, right now, as I mentioned, I'm playing Diablo 3, and I really love that game. I played the new Star Wars game that had the VR headset for PS4, and that was amazing because you're in the TIE fighter and flying around, and you're looking all around your head and everything from that. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah, there's so many really cool games out there. I can't even begin to begin. Also, I think that there are a lot of... I think that games on cell phones have gotten so much better over the years. Just the graphics are so much better, and it really feels like a full game system. It's almost like, why do you need a portable game system? Why do you need to buy a PlayStation Vita or all these other smaller game systems when you have your phone now that can do all these really amazing graphics to it? So that blows my mind.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me, you know, how Pokemon Go caught traction, and then they
right.
also have, like, they also ported Baldur's Gate from PC to tablet, I believe. Yeah, I didn't end up playing it, but people seemed to really like it. They thought it was better on the tablet than it was on computer.
And I actually really got into Pokemon Go for a little while, then I got bored with it, and I was like, I'm gonna move on.
Yeah, I've heard both ends of the spectrum. Some people really like it. Some people really hate it.
No, it was definitely a lot of fun. Well, I was really addicted to it. I was extremely addicted to Pokemon Go for a short while.
All right. So, why do you think games have gotten so popular? Do you think, in particular, in the past few, decades?
I think people like to immerse themselves in a different world. I think it's an entertaining experience. Instead of just watching a movie, they're being entertained by being able to choose and make the decisions of the specific character. I think games just let you escape and be that character for a bit, and it's just definitely a lot of fun. I know that for example, Silent Hill, when playing that game, I actually would get scared because I wouldn't want my character to die, and there'd be these monsters coming in and be like, ah! And it'd freak me out at different points.
So, Silent Hill? It sounds... I've played Silent Hill before, but I've never... I thought it was scary for a while, but, you know, after a while, it's just all fog. I actually thought it was pretty cool how in the series that they would name streets after different horror writers like Lovecraft, and I think they used Stephen King's pseudonym for, I think, that.
Bachman?
Yeah, or... Richard Bachman or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really big fan, but...
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I like the movies, too, as well.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what would be your ideal game concept?
I think there are a lot of game concepts. I mean, obviously, my ideal game concept that I'm working on right now, I'm trying to make it my ideal game concept just because of the fact that I'm having a lot of fun building it out. And I want to make a side-scroller but have the character do things that you can't normally do with other side-scrolling games. And I just like the exploration of different things. So, you know, each new game that we're creating is our ideal concept, hopefully, or what we're trying to achieve. And we always look back at our games and are like, oh, we should have done this, we should have done that. But at the time that we're doing it, it's like, oh, it's a lot of fun and being able to do things.
So do you put an emphasis on exploration in your games?
For this game in particular, exploration. It's not necessarily exploration for other games. For our first game, Hurls, it wasn't about exploration. It was just about having fun, you know, killing humans and getting brains and stuff like that.
Okay, so I guess going back to being a developer, what do you think that the average individual could do to get noticed in the industry? Is there anything that publishers are looking for?
I think just get your game out there, you know, put it up on Steam or something and just make it really fun. Just have a lot of fun with it and get a lot of people to play it and try out your game. If they think it's fun, they'll definitely want to, you know, get users and followers and traction, build traction that way.
All right. So it looks like we're running out of time. Before we end, is there anything you'd like to add?
You can check out our website at www.b-jelly.tv or .com, either one. And you can see the updates and try out the game Hurlz, H-U-R-L-Z, on iOS, Android, and Facebook.
Thank you for being with us today, Brian.
Thank you very much.
And there you have it, adventurers. Join me next week for another episode of Dungeon Delvers. For KPC Radio.com, I'm Hannah Ward, signing out.